Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we support entrepreneurs who take bold action, clear steps to start a business, get unstuck, or grow with clarity, confidence, and courage. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach and the founder of the Why Not Today movement. I created this podcast in honor of my dad, Patrick Kane, who often said, "Why not today?" And now this has become a guiding question in my life and business. Each week, you'll hear solo episodes where I coach through common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach what actually works. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave with each episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. Let's dive into the Why Not Today podcast, the podcast that helps you grow with courage and by taking action. And just FYI, I always mention this, we do not edit these episodes because I want it to be authentic, real conversations. And my guest today is Roy Heffernan, and I recently got to know him from a neighbor. She just happened to say, "Oh, I have a good friend, and he is retired, but he worked for Life is Good." And so one of my biggest goals and missions with Why Not Today is that a brand that is like Life is Good, a mantra that people quote, and it guides people's lives. And so when Janie told me about Roy, I said, "Please connect me." And then when I got to know Roy a little bit more, doing a little research, you're more than like, "Oh, you just, by the way, worked for Life is Good and is retired." So you're a lot more. So we had a conversation. I loved everything you shared, and I'm excited about putting some things in place that you guys did at Life is Good for Why Not Today. But want to hear your story and your journey. So let's start. Welcome, Roy, and share a little about who you are and a fun fact.
Thank you, Leslie. And I love the fact that you're doing this podcast. Good for you. In
Thank
honor
you.
of your dad makes it even more special. So thanks for having me on. Just a quick bio for me. I won't get into the business end of it because I think we're going to probably exhaust that a bit later.
Yes.
So I'm a lucky man. I've got a beautiful wife and I've got two children with fantastic husband in one case and wife in the other. And I've got six just glorious grandchildren. So we are both Claire and I very, very lucky. And we live on Cape Cod. And that's nice because it's a good excuse for them to come down and see us and
Yes.
be near the beach and be near the water. And so we get to spend a lot of time with our six little ones, ranging from 9 to 3 years old.
Oh,
So
wow. That's awesome.
that's all good. And I have a big extended family, all pretty much in the Boston area, and seven siblings. One we lost last year, so now six siblings. And I greatly am respectful and grateful to have them in my life too.
Yeah, I'm one of six myself. So, but you're very strategic being a place where the kids want to come. My nieces and nephews grew up in this area and have gone other places, and it's like not appealing. There's no beach here.
Well, my wife Claire, I think, did something genius on that front. We were 13 years in Northern Virginia, close to where I guess you are now. But,
Yeah.
and when we moved to Boston, which was back home for both of us, she said, "Hey, we better get a place down the Cape so that the kids want to be Bostonians." And so far it's worked because my son and his family are in Watertown, which is just outside of Boston, and my daughter and her family are in Westboro, which is also just outside of Boston. So it all worked out well.
That's great. Good for you. So, what's a fun fact about Roy?
Oh, a fun fact. I have two very interesting grandfathers. My grandmothers are great too, but they're all gone now, of course. My mother's father played for the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox.
Oh,
And
wow.
so we
That's
give
very
each of the
cool.
grandkids a baseball card of my grandfather when they're old enough to know what it is. So that's
Wow,
fun.
that's fun.
And then my other grandfather on my dad's side, he actually was a OBGYN in Boston for his entire career and was Rose Kennedy's OBGYN.
My
So
goodness.
he did not deliver John, but he delivered Ted and some others. So
Oh,
anyway,
wow.
those are kind of fun facts in
Yeah,
terms
they
of
are
history.
cool claims to fame there. So I love that you are part of Life is Good and how that aligns with Why Not Today. And so you didn't come in from the beginning of Life is Good, but let's talk about your journey how you got into life is good, and then I want to talk a little about, the mantra of life is good and why you what you guys have done to make a difference. And
Great.
are you fully retired now?
I am fully retired, Leslie. Yep.
Oh.
And but I will use the pronoun we when I speak about life is good, and when I speak about me and my partners of life is good, just because I still feel like I'm part of the family and will always be that way. So just so I'm clear, when I say we, it'll sound like I'm still involved, and I am, at least from an emotional standpoint, but it'll seem like I'm still involved from a business standpoint, and I'm not.
Okay. So
But
how did you get involved and start? It looks like your puppy dog just came to visit.
he did. He did. We have,
Okay.
I have a
Don't leave
Labradoodle, and
me.
he hangs with me a lot. How did I get involved? Well, the founders of the company, Bert and John Jacobs, are my first cousins. So their
Oh,
mother,
I did not know that.
their mother is my dad's older sister.
Okay.
Yeah, you're freezing a little bit when
That's
I'm talking
cool.
to you, Leslie. I don't know if
It's
we have a bad
unstable.
connection.
Hopefully it'll fix. So it seems
Yeah.
okay now.
Okay. You're
Okay.
frozen on my
So
screen,
the
but
owners
that's okay.
are again. Okay, we'll keep going. And if it gets bad, we'll start over.
Okay.
Am I there now?
So what's that? You're frozen.
Can you see me now?
I
Am I
can see you,
frozen?
but you're frozen.
Okay. We may need to start over. Let's see. I hate
Now
to.
you're back.
Okay. All right. If it stops again, we'll start over and I'll go on my hotspot. But all right.
Okay.
So they were your cousins, or they are your cousins, which I did not know.
Yeah, so Bert and John came to me 3 years before I started with them, and I started in 2004,
What year did they start?
1994.
Okay.
So I joined them 10 years into their journey with Life is Good. And so they came to me, Bert in particular came to me 3 years before that time, but my children were in high school at the time, and Claire and I did not want to leave Northern Virginia and take them out of high school. So I said, I'm excited to think about it, but no, not right now. So then when our daughter went off to college, she went to Elon down in North Carolina, and the second of the two children, I gave him a call and said, okay, what are you doing now? And so that's when my daughter was a freshman, that's when we moved back to Boston and joined Life is Good.
That's awesome. I had no idea you're related. That's even cooler.
Yeah.
So did you start at the same position you ended in, or did you evolve through it?
I
Because I
was
love your
not
title.
I was not an owner, most importantly to me, when I started with them. I was a year later.
Okay.
And I didn't really have a clean title when I joined them, I will say. But I became COO a year later too, when I became an owner. And then I was COO for 20 years with them.
And the COO stands for.
Chief Operating Optimist.
There you go. I love
Yeah.
that.
And I wore many hats. When I joined the company, I basically said to Bert and John, I'll do anything that you either don't want to do or you're not good at. And so I wore a lot of hats, which was fine by me. I really liked the diversity of my job.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's talk about the beginning of Life is Good. You want to share how it got started? I know I've done a little research, and then how it's evolved, and I love the
Yeah.
mission. Let's kind of dive into
Well,
some of those things.
Bert and John had a combination of parents. One who was I don't think it's too aggressive to say that she was the greatest optimist of all time,
That's
and then
awesome.
a father who did the best he could, but had some alcoholic issues and so on along the way. So you kind of had two ends of the spectrum with regard to the care that Bert and John and his four siblings got, you know, throughout their life. And so Bert and John were selling other brands, not Life is Good, literally out of the back of their van, and they were traveling up and down the East Coast and going to colleges and so on, things you probably couldn't do today. Selling various t-shirts and squeaking out a living, but all the meanwhile working on, you know, what their brand should be. And as they tell the story, with a lot of windshield time together, they worked on their brand. And not surprisingly, we don't sell teas and we don't sell water bottles, we sell optimism. And it was Joan, their mother, that really infused the importance of being optimistic and understanding that the empowerment that you get by choosing every day, and we do choose every day to embrace the world, embrace challenges as opportunities and not roadblocks. And Joan was just the greatest mother in that regard. She would get the six of them around the dinner table, and she would start the conversation by saying, "Tell me something good that happened today." And they would go around the table and focus on the goodness in their life as opposed to the challenges.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when you came in, were they obviously up and going as a company? Were they super successful at that point or struggling? Let's talk about some. I always try to give people hope and permission. I see looking in. From the outside looking in, okay, these two guys, brothers selling stuff out of their van, to okay, now they have this huge company that's everywhere. But I'm sure there was a lot of in between.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I think well, Bert and John did so many things correctly in the early going, but they'll be the first to tell you that they didn't know what they were doing in terms of launching a business. And I think that's true of a lot of
I was going to
entrepreneurs.
say that's most business owners. You
Yeah,
have
you know,
a passion.
they have their dream and they have their passion and they know what they want to bring to the table, if you will, the table of life. And in their case, so they, by School of Hard Knocks, they learned a lot. And then Bert realized, I think probably very early on, that he's not a structure guy, and nor is John. And so when they hired me, they hired me to bring with me some of the structure that I had developed over the years with working as a senior vice president of business development for the National Rural Telecommunications Cooperative there in Herndon, Virginia. And prior to that, running fairly large cable television regional multi-town projects for Continental Cablevision and American Cable Systems. And so, as general manager of the cable systems, I was involved with a lot of structure building, including hiring and firing and building business models and, you know, legitimizing P&Ls every month, et cetera, et cetera. Those are things that Bert and John hadn't done really to date, and knew that they needed to button some things up with regard to the structure behind their wonderful creativity. And so
I went recently. I was going to say, do you know Brené Brown? Have you followed her at all?
Yeah, I know the name, yeah.
So I saw her speak the other day. She was here in DC and she talked about businesses need poetry and plumbing.
Yeah.
So the creativity and the system. So it sounds like you were the plumbing part coming in behind their poetry.
Yeah, I had the wrench. I had the
Yeah,
wrench in my hand. Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, that's right. So, and that was fun. The first thing I did was, you know, when I came on board, was I put them in debt for the first time in their careers, because we decided to buy out a place called the Shirt Factory, which was the back end of their business for the first 10 years. And then we took them out financially, took them out, and began a whole new chapter in the Life is Good growth curve.
Yeah, because I know you can't grow without the systems behind it. And it sounds like you had to, bring things more in-house.
Yes, and I asked him. I asked Bert fairly early on, when do you do reviews, personnel reviews? He said, what? We had some blocking and tackling to do, or some plumbing to do, to lay the pipe. And Bert and John gave me a lot of room to do what I felt was going to be helpful for the underpinnings of the company to be able to grow from what was at that time 23 million.
Wow.
So
You
they had done really well for,
Yeah.
through 10 years. I mean, 23 million is not a billion-dollar company, but it's still, to grow to 23 million by just kind of working your butt off,
Bootstrapping
is very, very impressive. And
Yeah.
I know they felt good about it, and they should.
Yeah.
And so then not only me, but others came on board around the time that I did, and we launched into some new growth opportunities that made a significant difference.
Yeah. And, to grow, you do need to invest in those things and people and get help. And I think that's one of the hardest things when you may, I mean, at 23 million, they could probably afford help. But a lot of times before you can afford help, you need to get help. Mary Kay Ash always said, take the pennies out of your eyes to see the dollar signs.
Yeah, there you go.
So I love the mission behind Life is Good. And I know we talked a lot about this when we had our conversation a couple weeks ago. Talk about the mission and how it's important and how it is threaded throughout the whole company and even your vendors, and it all are all parts of Life is Good is your mission.
Yeah. Like I said, Bert and John will say that they've made every mistake in the book. In growing the company along the way. But in my opinion, they also did some very, very critical things that were right on target. And one of the things was to spend the time to nail down what I think is a perfect mission statement. And it is to spread the power of optimism. And so it's six words. Nobody has to take something out of their wallet to tell you what the mission is. And so when you join Life is Good, the first day, what we stand for. And it's also important, I think, to step back and think about every one of those six words. It's not to spread optimism, because if my mission or the company's mission is to spread optimism, it's about us spreading the optimism.
Right.
Once you say to spread the power of optimism, Leslie, the entire juxtaposition of that statement changes, because now it's not about us, it's about the receiver of the message. And now they have the power of optimism to view the world in an optimistic way, and again, to see challenges as opportunities.
Yeah, I love that it's so much more than just you. It's you're making a difference in so many people's lives. So how do you incorporate that not just in the employees, or I guess let's talk about employees. And you talked about daily decisions based on that mission. How did you incorporate that?
Well, I think you've nailed the importance of the mission right there. As you grow as an entrepreneur and you take on new people, it's one thing for you to have a clear mission and a clear vision of what your company is and can be and should be. It's another thing to impart that to your employees as a linchpin of your culture. And so if repetition breeds confidence, then speaking about and educating everybody who walks in your door as an employee or even as a potential customer, to educate them about what our mission is, to spread the power of optimism. And you see how easy it rolls off of your tongue, because it's simple and it's straightforward and it captures the essence of who and what we are. and what we want to stay. There's no reason for us to change that mission. And I think that's also a good sign of a mission statement, that you don't change your mission from time to time. Your mission is your mission. And that's
Right.
so everything else can change within your strategies and your tactics and so on. But I think if you nail your mission and you know who you are, you don't change your mission. And so
You
we
don't
have.
change it, but sometimes you need to fine-tune it, which I think I'm
Maybe.
still a little bit in the process of after talking to you. I'm like, okay, might need to change a tweak it a little bit, but
That's true. I and you don't
no.
and you don't always nail it the first time either. But I think we did nail it, quite frankly.
Yeah, no.
And we haven't changed it. We haven't changed it in 30 years. So I think, Bert and John should be very proud of that, because if you change your mission too much, you confuse people. And well, I thought we stood for spreading the power of optimism, and now what are you asking me to do? So that, I think, is a real pillar, a strong, strong pillar of life is good. And it's, I think, one of the reasons our employees stay around, in many cases for their entire career. We have one employee who's all 30 years, 31 years, and then we have others that are right up there bumping against 30 years. So they've made a career of being with Life is Good,
That's awesome.
and so I think that's indicative of a really good mission statement.
And are Bert and John still part of the company?
Oh, very much so. Yeah,
Okay.
there are four partners that are still in the game. Two of us are out.
Okay.
So Bert and John are leading the charge, and probably will until they can't breathe. And then we have two other just fantastic owners. Carrie Gross, who was their absolute number one first employee ever, and she's still with them,
Wow.
and an owner of the company. And she's wonderful, really, really strong in many ways. And then a guy by the name of Sean White, who's also just a terrific human being and very, very bright, and two-time wrestling All-American at Michigan State. Really interesting guy. So he that rounds out the four partners right now.
Well, it's interesting having a strong culture or strong mission that people can get behind. I think about my, which ironically, 31-year career in Mary Kay, that Mary Kay's mission was not to sell lipstick, it's to enrich the lives of others. That is the mission. And the longevity for employees at Mary Kay is crazy too. And Mary Kay's been around 62 years, twice as long. And they're still, like, one time I called and was put on hold and or told there was a recording saying, sorry, we can't answer the phone. We're celebrating our employees that have been here over 40 years or something crazy like that.
Nice.
So there's a lot of longevity, which goes back to you have a strong mission and culture people want to be a part of.
I really like their mission statement. It's simple. It just rolled off your tongue. And getting back to the importance of it, as you bring new people into your culture, and we as employees at any level are making thousands of decisions a day. Little ones maybe, but they're making many, many, many decisions.
Right.
So I always say, well, if you're doing something that isn't spreading the power of optimism, then stop doing it, because you're not on the right track. So do something else that spreads the power of optimism, or ultimately will. So
Yeah.
I think that's a good benchmark for people.
Yeah.
It allows them to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. I'm planning my day. Is this spreading the power of optimism? And I think it's a
Yeah.
legitimate question.
Love that and be able to fall back on that because we do get so wrapped up in things that aren't really aligned. And why are we doing this anyway? So I know you guys, I listened to a podcast that you were on, and I know I think we talked about this. You had to make some adjustments, and you did make some adjustments based on changes in the world and how people buy things. So how did you pivot kind of to get to, I know you said you start doing more online. How did
Oh
that?
yeah, let me. I think, I mean, there are lots of critical points in the growth curve of a company, but I'll go to the one that I think will make the most sense and have some credibility with anyone who's watching. And that is, we made some really, really critical decisions, and quite frankly, expensive decisions for us at the size of the company, right before COVID. And so we didn't make the decisions because of COVID, because we didn't know it was coming. But we made the decisions in a timing way to change our business model from a historical business model for t-shirts, let's say, where you'd have to predict 18 to 2 years out what graphics would resonate with consumers. And in today's world, that's just ridiculous.
Too far, yeah.
It's ridiculous. If you hit a few, if you hit a few, you're lucky. So what we did prior to COVID, and then it paid off during COVID, is that we invested in some very expensive and very capable direct-to-garment or DTG printers. And as a result of that, it allowed us to change the business model so that we would purchase blanks with no graphics on it, blank t-shirts with no graphics. And we would bring those now into our facility, our back office facility in New Hampshire. And these, for the most part, were made in Lima, Peru. Previous to that, we would have to order the t-shirts, have them sewn, have them produced, and then tell them what graphics we want on these 24 years in advance of when they were going to hit the shelves. Now,
Months, not years.
well, 24 months. Did I say
Months.
years?
Yeah.
Yeah, not
I'm
24.
like, okay, that would be a little crazy. But yeah, still 24 months is fast as we're
Yeah.
moving. That's
Yeah,
ridiculous.
thank you for the correction. Yeah, 24 months, which is as stupid as 24 years.
Yes.
Now we put graphics, literally new graphics on every week, and we put them online. And then we know, because we get data every single day, every single minute we get data. We know what graphics are going to hit and that are worthy of our excuse me, time to print. So we now take those blanks, and we say, okay, we got a winner with this one. We just found out because over the last week we sold X number on online. Start to print. And then we print, 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 print. We've got them made. We know they're going to sell because people are people. And if it sells in the first week, it's going to sell, and you're going to do well with it.
Right.
So it totally changed our business model. And so instead of closing out graphics that didn't sell at the end of the year to TJ Maxx or somebody else for either a loss or break even, you don't have any, you don't have any backlog like that. And it changes the whole inventory game for the better. So that's just one example of where you have six partners, now four, who are nimble and even at 160 million are able to move quickly and make decisions quickly without a huge board of director meeting or whatever. It's a great, great benefit to Life is Good. And now it's
Yeah.
just four of them, so I'm sure they can move even quicker than with six.
Yeah, and that's so intuitive of you guys to make that pivot right before COVID.
Oh, that was
But it
lucky.
didn't happen.
I mean, that was lucky. It just positioned us because everything, as you know, went online for
Well, and I kind of did the same thing with Mary Kay
COVID.
right be like a month or two before Mary Kay, I came up with a virtual appointment and no idea that that was going to have to change my business model. But I think businesses that are successful in downtimes and times that aren't good are, you're resourceful, you're creative, you're willing to take the steps to make the big changes, which can be scary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I love that you guys stand behind the quality. It is quality shirts that I know you mentioned that, you're not going to take a partnership with a big box store to make crappy shirts to make extra money.
We've made that decision a lot. The boys made it, the boys, Bert and John, made it early on when they were, they needed revenues.
Right.
They said no to some very, potentially exciting revenue drivers, but because they knew what they wanted to be. And while we don't want to be a $150 tee, we also don't want to compete at the $11 tee.
Right. And I think that's so important. I was talking to somebody the other day. It's staying in your lane. You know, what is important to you and not veering off. The conversation came up with some friends that were having houses built or renovations, and the husband and wife, you know, they're like, we need t-shirts, a Life is Good shirt, maybe. Or why not say, stay in your lane? Like, if you don't care about the kitchen, don't get into building out the kitchen. And I think, you know, with any business, knowing what you stand for, what your mission is, and what you're not going to, what's not negotiable, like a hard no, like not happening.
Yeah, the old saying, stick to the knitting.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that was meant to suggest. Stay with what you know.
Yeah. Well, I love everything that Life is Good stands for. And I hope that one day, Why Not Today is going to be as strong of a brand. And I'm going to tap into you and your encouragement. So right now you've pivoted and you're retired, but you're also giving back and helping people. Why don't you talk about that real quick?
Well, I am a mentor for SCORE, and SCORE is a volunteer organization that is designed to allow old guys like me, or young guys, but mostly old guys that have time, to leverage some of the things that we've learned over the years and assist young entrepreneurs, and I don't mean in age, new entrepreneurs in any business endeavor that they're launching. And it's at no cost to the entrepreneur, and it's fun for us. I've got some terrific guys down here down the Cape, and women, but it's mostly guys. But also, I co-mentor with one woman she's excellent, excellent. So I shouldn't just say guys. I'm surrounded by really, really smart people that have developed some wonderful skills over the years, and it's kind of fun to give back in that regard.
Yeah, I love that. And I think people, entrepreneurs, as young entrepreneurs starting new businesses, to be able to tap into resources. There's so many resources available. And like your cousins were smart enough to have watched you be successful in other industries, knowing that what you could bring to the table. So the beginning, you started coming in with your skills and talents, and now to be able to help other people. And there's so many resources that I don't think new business owners realize that you can tap in to get some help. And you got to ask.
Yes.
You know, I could have just listened to Janie in our walk say, oh, yeah, my friend's husband, my friend's, he used to work for A or Life is Good. But I asked and I acted upon it. And I'm excited to get some mentoring from you as we grow. Why Not Today?
Yeah.
So, anything in closing that you would encourage an entrepreneur or somebody that has a dream?
Well, I think it's a fine line to be, aggressive in your goals and objectives, and also patient with yourself. So I would invite someone to try to find that right balance, because anyone who's started a business knows that there are just a lot of twists and turns, and many of them are outside your control. You do control a lot of things, and you should, be focused on what you can control, but then also realize that there are things that happen around you that slow you down, maybe, or just invite you to think about another way or whatever. And many times in hindsight, you say, "Boy, I'm glad that happened, because look where I went." And so I think it's a, I would say it's finding a nice balance of working your tail off with your goals in mind, but also be patient with yourself.
Right. And I think that's so important that it does take time. And you don't like, you look at the success of you guys and so many companies, it wasn't a straight line and there were ups and downs. And nobody sees the hard part, but it does take time. And you wake up one day and I'm like, how did we get to be this, been around this long? So I forgot at the beginning, we started talking so fast to ask you, what does courage mean to you?
What does courage mean to me from a
Yeah.
business perspective?
Our life, well, courage is.
Yeah, I tie courage to my gifts, and my gifts from God. And some people get uncomfortable talking about spirituality, but I don't. And I think everybody has been just granted some wonderful, wonderful gifts, and understanding those gifts, coming to know what they are, and then how to potentially leverage them to make a difference in our world. I mean, my world's getting smaller now, not bigger, but I still have reach, and we all have reach every day with the people that we come in contact with. I play tennis and I'm on a USTA team, and the guys around me, they're all my age, and to bring a level of care and concern to them, leveraging some of the gifts that I've been given. It's just through grace. I mean, I don't deserve them. I have them, and I know them, and you have them, and you know them. So I think that that allows me to be courageous, is to know my gifts, understand what my skills are, be willing to test them and use them and leverage them for something greater than yourself.
All right, so I think that is my all-time favorite definition of courage. So thank you. And I always try to tie back sometimes if I can tie back to my dad, and people are like, I didn't know your dad. But in the conversations connections, and we talked about this before we went live, that you went to college with John Peterson, who was the son of John Peterson Sr., who had a big has a big company here in Northern Virginia, and my dad actually worked with him. And then can tie back to your aunt, Bert and John's mom, who was so optimistic. And I think that was one of the things with my dad, very optimistic. Like everything was figure outable. You know, something would happen. He's like, we'll figure it out. I don't know how, but it figured out. So I love those connections. So thank you so much for being a guest. And I look forward to staying connected with you. And I will share your contact information in the show notes if anybody's looking to reach out to you. So again, thank you. And thank you everybody for joining us on the Why Not Today podcast, your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and courageous growth. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, I hope you're leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. This podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action. I'm here to walk with you every step of the way. And remember, you don't need to have it all figured out. You just need to take one brave step. And remember, always say, why not today? Thanks for
Thank you, Leslie. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.